Praise the Lord.
Can you take me out of the monitors up here now? I have this mic tonight. I'm not using the other one, but how's everybody doing tonight? Good? All is well? How many remember what we talked about last week? It's always, if you were here, then, you know, if you weren't here, then you're off the hook. But does anybody remember what we talked about last week? Was that good, huh? It was good. It was good. Yes. What's that? Oh, you're written down? We started talking about how to get from here to there. And we've been talking about the life of Joshua, and actually the book starting in the first chapter, the book of Joshua. And we're really drawing some parallels from, and Joshua was just an amazing, I was just reading through it again today. And guy had such a spirit of faith about him that was just, it was amazing. It's no wonder why he was tapped on the shoulder and used by Moses, because, you know, there's optimists and there's pessimists. And you know what? We talked last week about how they sent out the 12 spies, and 10 came back with a lousy report that we're going to be doomed, and 2 came back with a great report, which was completely opposite of what the other spies said. And it's amazing how, you know, we said last week how 2 people could look at the same thing and have 2 different perspectives on it. And you get God's perspective when you put God's word into your heart. And Joshua and Caleb both had a spirit of faith, the Bible talks about. And so we looked at 3 things last week as far as how to get from here to there, or yeah, that's what it was called, right? How to get from here to there, and we looked at some of the points where we have to receive God's challenge in our life, then we have to recognize God's commitment to us, and speaks to us. We have to, and we've really hammered away on the fact that that when God speaks to us, we have to instantly obey. And tonight we're going to get into how to overcome obstacles. How many have ever experienced any obstacles in your life? Maybe you're going through an obstacle right now. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with obstacles, okay? Obstacles are put in our path to build us up, to strengthen us, and to show. You never know what you're made of unless you're tested, right? And so at least that's what the teacher always told us in school. We're giving you this test so that we know that you're learning something. And we didn't really like that at the time, but it's true anyway. And we never know what God's word is in our heart unless we do face some obstacles. And we said last week that when we respect God's command, Joshua, the very first thing that he said that they needed to cross the Jordan River. And we talked about how when God asks you to do something, it's never in your timing or the way you think it might be, or the way, you know, if everything is favorable, sure, God will do it, no problem. It's over was at its highest point. Jordan River, it was harvest season at the time, and the Jordan River was at its highest point. So, you know, it'd be one thing, they must have said to themselves, well, God, can't we cross the Jordan River when there's, you know, when it's dry and there's been a drought for a long time? But no, because God's power shows up when we step out in faith. When we get ourselves to a point that we can't do it on our own, and we have to rely on God to get the victory in our life. And that's what Joshua did. I'm going to come down there because I like it down there better. I have that one, but then I got all my music. There's like, oh, there's one over there too? Yeah, I guess so. Why not? So tonight we're going to talk about overcoming obstacles. And we're going to look at Joshua chapter 6. And there's really some, when I was studying for this afternoon, there were some pretty interesting, thanks, bro. There were some interesting things. Is it taped? I'll get a chair. Sorry, it's a good thing my eyes are still good. I'm holding the mic. I got a short little stand, and I'm just all over the place. Obstacles. These are obstacles, okay? Precept. That's a glorious stand. Precept and example here. But when I was reading about this today, and really this wasn't part of my part of the discussion that we were even going to talk about, but when I was reading through Joshua chapter 6, and actually Joshua chapter 2, And what I found very interesting in overcoming obstacles and looking at the life of Joshua and how he was leading the Israelites and how the spirit of faith, how many understand what I mean when, you know, sometimes that sounds all like churchy and Christianese and people are like, well, what does that mean, spirit of faith? It sounds really like out there and it maybe turns people off. They don't. But how many understand what I mean when I say spirit of faith? He had the same spirit that he had a victory spirit. He had a spirit in him that because he knew God, the same spirit that Christ has and lives inside of us, that's the same spirit that Joshua had in him. And that's, you know, faith activates God's power in our life. When we're going through things in our life, you know, the minute we think that we can handle the problem, we're getting in way over our head. And that's when things really go sideways on us. And we want to stay in control. We want to feel like we have it all together. And, you know, I went to school for this. I know how to fix this. And really, that's fine. But God's wisdom supersedes our mental capacity and what we could think and plan and everything else. And so faith in God and in his word activates the power in our life. And we develop that spirit of faith that I'm talking about, which I've been hammering away at spending time in God's word. We cannot. Listen, everything else that I say tonight, if the only thing you do here and get is that you need to read God's word every day, then I did my job, because that is the most important thing that we can do. Outside of reading God's word, everything else is just fluff, I like to call it, because it won't make sense and it won't produce in your life if you don't know God. Not just on Sunday or spending time with him in his word. You know, every single day, not just on Sunday or Saturday when the pastors are teaching from the Bible, you need to be cracking your Bible every day on a daily basis, spending time with God, because that's how God's going to speak to you. God uses people, he uses pastors, and he'll certainly speak to you through us and through the word, but God gives you direction for your life personally when you spend time with him and fellowship with him in his word. And it's what's really amazing is I've read, I'm reading this different Bible plan that I have right now, and I've read the scriptures so many times, and every time I read them, I get something different, and I make another note in my Bible that wow, I never saw that before. And you know what? That's God speaking to us. And those are truths that are being deposited into our heart that when we do face an obstacle, guess what's going to come up? Guess what's going to come up? The word of God that you planted in your heart. And if you're not planting the word of God in your heart and you're planting something else, when you face an obstacle, guess what's going to come up? You're going to resort to your natural means and natural way of thinking. And your natural way of thinking is probably what got you in that position in the first place. So we really need to, and I'm not here to talk about the importance of reading God's word, although you really can't separate the two anyway. But so getting back to our message tonight, how to overcome obstacles. I have three things that I want to go over. The people of God had to decide whether they would continue the journey to where God wanted them, or would they move forward in spite of the obstacles, or would they once again retreat into safety? And we're talking about the Israelites. You know, they crossed the Jordan. That was the very first thing. They crossed the Jordan. They submitted themselves to God's instruction. They didn't understand how it was going to happen. It looked like a huge obstacle, which it was. But when you read through this, when Joshua sent out the, and you know what I find very, you should read this the book of Joshua, and especially the first 12 chapters, because God's instructions are so specific. They're very specific, and when you're going through this and you read through it, it's you know, he had to send the priests out first. They had to have the horns. They had to do something a certain way. And when it came to the Jordan, they said as soon as the, you know, they were probably waiting. Okay, God, we're here. Why is the water not parting? And the river not parting? And he was specific. He said the minute their foot touches the water, it'll heap up on the back end and it'll heap up on the front end. But how many know this, that if they never took that step and touched the water, they'd still be looking at the Jordan River? Okay? And there's same things with God. Maybe God has spoken some things into your life. Maybe you know that there's just certain things that you need to do. You can't figure out how to get them done, but God knows how to get them done. And God just wants you to take the very first step. You know, this Saturday night service was that kind of an experience for me. taking the first step. I don't know how it's going to unfold. I don't really know. But all I know is the little bit that God said for me to do, and that's what I'm doing. And the same thing in our life. For us to make progress and ever get ahead, we need to step out in what we know God already asked us to do. So they had to overcome some obstacles. We each arrive at this crossroad in our spiritual walk. Where are we going to continue on with what God has spoken to our hearts, what his word instructs us to do, or are we going to retreat to safety where it was comfortable? Like, remember when the Israelites, they wandered around in they were slaves in Egypt. God supernaturally delivered them. I mean, remarkably, miraculously delivered them. Then they complained because they wouldn't follow God's statutes while they're wandering around. An 11-day journey took them 40 years, and most of them never got to see the promised land anyway. And what were they wanting? Moses, can't you let us go back to at least we had, at least we had food. At least we're tired of eating bread every day. You know, at least we had beans and lentils and things like that when we were in Egypt. We'd rather just be slaves again. So the temptation when God is pushing you to do something and you find an obstacle in front of you, the temptation is to revert back to comfort the way it used to be. But if you really stop and think about it, was that real comfort? You know what I mean? The Bible says that there's an enemy. We have an enemy, and it's the devil. He's already been defeated. But he roams about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to get you off course. He wants to get you off the right path and put you on some other path to take you away from the will of God for your life. And so obstacles come our way, and the temptation, if we're not, again, spending time in God's word, there's no way that we're going to be able to overcome obstacles and temptations and the thoughts to quit and retreat and grumble and complain if we're not spending time in God's word. That's the most important thing. Listen, it's hard enough when I read the Bible every day for an hour. I still find myself having to repent, God, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be complaining about that. Or, God, I'm sorry, forgive me for having that kind of an attitude. That's wrong. I couldn't imagine trying to make it without spending time in God's word. It would be absolutely impossible. So we arrive at this crossroad in our spiritual walk. God does not place us on this planet without purpose. He has a divine design for each one of us. Each one of us has a specific divine purpose for being here. We may not realize that right now, but listen, if God uses you to minister good news to one person and that one person's life is changed and they receive Jesus Christ into their heart, that's your purpose. That's your purpose right there. But you know what? It's even so much more than that. And again, I'm not going to talk about our purpose. That's a whole nother message. But we discover our purpose as we begin to walk in what God has for us one step at a time. If God was to show us a snapshot of where we might be 15 years from now, we would all run and retreat because we wouldn't be able to wrap our head around it. But when we take one step in front of the other, and that's faith, that activates God's power in our life, and that's when miraculous things happen, So we face that crossroad. God has a specific purpose. As we seek to follow his direction, difficulties confront us. And Joshua teaches us how to overcome the obstacles that would keep us from following the will of God for our lives. Because that's what happens. Obstacles they pop up in our life out of nowhere. You may have even heard yourself saying those words. Where did that come from? I've said that so many times. Like, what is that all about? But you know what? We have an opportunity. Those are tests. Those are obstacles. But they're opportunities. They're opportunities for us to make the right choice. And, it's not the end of the world if you make the wrong choice, because guess what? You'll get to take the test again. It isn't test and you're out. It's test after test after test. But the more we start passing the test, the further we go down the road. But we can't get to the next step unless we complete the first step. So overcoming obstacles. First point is, number one, we overcome obstacles through communication. Chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. I want to just take a look at this. It says, now the gates of Jericho, now this part in chapter 6, they've crossed the Jordan River. There were some miraculous things that took place. Obviously, crossing the Jordan was enough. That was miraculous. But before we get into this little part, this is what I wanted to talk about. Because as I read this today, how many remember in chapter 2, Rahab? Rahab the prostitute, okay, who lived in Jericho. Now, the command of the Lord from Joshua was, you guys are going to go in and you're going to take the city of Jericho. And now it seemed like an impossible thing, a huge obstacle at the time because it was a walled city and it was shut up tight so that you couldn't go in and you couldn't come out. That's just how it was. And when we think of a wall, it's not like a fence around your yard that they marched around. It was a wall that people actually, Rahab, her house was built into the wall. So you could imagine how it's, you know, we talk about walls, we're building walls. This was a massive wall around this city. So how they were going to get in and defeat and take the city was only God knew how. Only God knew how, and he gave them some specific instructions, but there was obstacles in the way for them, but they continued through anyway. But Rahab in chapter 2, as I was reading this today, there were a bunch of different things that just jumped out at me, but Rahab had the same spirit of faith that Joshua had and Caleb had, and we can see that, and it's amazing because the story of Rahab was she protected the spies. Joshua sent 2 spies in to check out the city to see how, you know, see what they were up against, and word got around that these 2 spies were part of Joshua's army, the Israelite army, and so now they're out searching for these people. And Rahab, who you know, said the Bible says that she was a prostitute, ended up hiding these 2 spies. Now, you know, God just has a way of doing things that are so far, you know, beyond our natural thinking. And, you know, religious people would say, well, why would he use a prostitute to, I don't know why. Because God loves everybody, that's why. And God has a plan for everybody's life, you know? And of course, religion separates people, but good news and relationship is what brings people to Christ. And obviously, she needed to know Christ. So somehow or another, reading the story, Rahab was the one who hid these 2 spies. And this isn't even part of it, but I just thought that this is just so amazing that, you know, we tend to think in our mind that God is looking for the perfect person. And there is no such thing. God is looking for available, willing people. And the ones that seem like they're definitely not the pick, that they'd be the last one picked on the team, are the ones that God, look, God picked Paul, didn't he? And Paul hated Christians. He was persecuting them. And so I just find you see God's divine plan even here in using picking Rahab to end up hiding these 2 spies. And as you read through this in Joshua chapter 2, in verse 8 through 14, I just want to read this to you because I thought it was really interesting. And before the spies went to sleep, now the story goes that that Rahab, who had hidden the 2 men, they came looking for her, and she said that, oh, no, they're not here. They came earlier. They already left. And so they went on a witch hunt looking for the 2 spies out of the city. So before that, now, you know, coming up a little sooner now, verse 8, it says, before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up on the roof to talk with them. And this is what she said. She said, I know the Lord has given you this land, she told them. Now think about this. Here's a woman who's not part of the Israelite army, doesn't necessarily know God the way we think, you know, and sometimes we have our little preconceived ideas, but yet she knew the power of God. She said, I know the Lord has given you this land, she told them. We are all afraid of you. Everyone is living in terror, for we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the 2 Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God, listen to this. Now here's this blows me away. This is what she's saying. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Because she's seen the power of God, and it changed her heart. And God used her to hide these 2 men. And because, now, this is what I find was very interesting. She says, now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I have helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all their families. And verse 14 says, we offer our own lives as a guarantee for your safety. The men agreed. If you don't betray us, we will keep our promise when the Lord gives us the land. And then it says, since Rahab's house was built into the city wall, she let them down by a rope through the window and escaped to the hill country. So I read that because it's interesting how God used her, you know, because we have this preconceived idea that God is looking for like the perfect person to carry the torch, if you will. And you know what? God's looking for anybody that's willing and available, you know, and if we're going to be obedient and we say, God, you know what? My heart is to serve you. My heart is to follow you. God will use you. God will use you. So the first thing is we overcome obstacles through communication. Jericho was tightly shut up. I was saying chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut up because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in or out. But the Lord said to Joshua, okay, he spoke to him, I have given you Jericho, its king, and its mighty warriors. Your entire army is to march around the city once a day for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the city seven times with the priest blowing the horns. When you hear the priest give one long blast on the horns, have all the people give a mighty shout. Then the walls of the city will collapse and the people can charge straight into the city. So Joshua called together the priests and said, take up the Ark of the Covenant. He explained everything in detail, what they were supposed to do. But the major obstacle facing Joshua and the people of Israel was Jericho. If they could not conquer the city, then all hope for the Israelites was gone. How would they reach the city? How would they scale that kind of wall? So Joshua had a God who communicated with him. How many know that God communicates with us? That's what I was talking to you about earlier, that he talks to us through his word. And if we're going to overcome obstacles in our life, he's going to tell us how to get through them through his word. You know, you read Proverbs every day. I've read Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, hundreds and hundreds of times since I was a little kid. I still read it every in Proverbs and highlight. And I don't think there's anything else left for me to underline in my Bible in Proverbs and highlight. And I got notes all over the place. And every time I read it, God shows me something different. And I may have read it a million times, but the Holy Spirit at that point in time speaks something different into my heart. And it may be something that I'm going through or dealing with right now, that I've read that scripture hundreds of times. But this time, God shows me something. And you know what? It's like someone flipping on a light switch. And you're like, wow. And it makes changes. That God communicates with us that way. See, God wants to communicate with us all day long. If we would take the time and make the time to listen to him and to talk with him and wait on him. You know, if you're driving in your car, whatever you're doing, you know, just fellowship with him. God cares about what you're doing on a daily basis. Just like, you know, if I'm not with my wife or my kids during the day and I'm at work and I'm doing what I'm thinking about them. I wonder what they're doing. I wonder how everything's going with them. If they're at school, if they're at work, what they're up to. And I think about them. You know, God thinks like that about us all day long. And yet, all we ever have to do is, he's always there. He wants to help you with the small things, even, that we think, well, we don't really need his help with that. He wants to help you. God wants to help you. He wants to communicate. God is a communicator, and he communicated with Joshua. So, we overcome obstacles through communications. Whatever your obstacle, God is willing to cross it with you. He is committed to communicating with his people and to providing strength, comfort, and hope. If you're up against a wall and want to know how to deal with it, don't try to overcome under your own strength, because it's not going to work out. We need to commune with God, you know, because let me say something to you, and I'm going to talk about this in my next point here. You know, they may have come up with a different plan to conquer that city and get through the wall. Do you think that that's ever been done before? Like, is that the normal method of how we conquer a city? Send people out and march around 6 days on the wall and then blow horns? That sounds ludicrous. You know, so if we were left to our own reasoning, we would come up with something so much smarter than that. But yet, and you know what we would do? We'd ram our head into the wall because it wouldn't work. been there, done that, T-shirts to prove it, all sorts of things. God's ways are so much bigger and better and beyond our natural thinking. I mean, the fact that that was the kind of plan, and listen, and the fact, now here's the next point, all right, because this takes me right into it. We need to commune with God. Let that be your first plan of action rather than your last resort. You know, we always have those foxhole prayers, you know what I mean? After we've tried everything else and we're jumping into the foxhole, God, help me. And he's like, I was trying to avoid all the havoc in your life. I'm always here to help you, but don't make me a last resort. Make me your first choice, you know, because God wants to help us. Number two, we defeat difficulties and obstacles through compliance. Compliance. How many know what compliance is? All right. We all have to go through different compliance. You know, I know my wife at work at the hospital, there's so many things that they have to, as a nurse, and when all the big wigs come walking through there, there's certain things that we have to be in compliance with. Here, the emergency lights have to work through, and everything has to be in compliance. The exit signs have to be lit up. The emergency lights have to work. That's our life, okay? Compliance. But we overcome difficulties through compliance. Now, sometimes we don't like to comply. I don't like it when thank God I know all the guys from the fire and the inspectors. But it's a pain in the neck. I see the guy pull up in the car, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, now what? You know, they're going to crawl through here with their big list of items. But compliance is important. It's important. Faith complies, not complains. Okay? Faith complies. It doesn't complain. And see, the Israelites complained. They murmured. They complained after God has been so good to us. None of us has ever done that. I know that. How crazy of those Israelites to complain after God did such miraculous things, because we would never do something like that, complain. But yet, God has done so many things in our life, and when an obstacle comes our way, instead of complying and stepping out in faith and doing the word, we complain. Well, why is this happening to me? God, you know I serve you. Why, you know, how can this happen to me? This isn't fair. You know, how many have ever said that? It's not fair. My kids know that they're not allowed to say that in the house. But they still say it. There's consequences for that. So faith complies, it doesn't complain. Complaining will set you back, and it'll get your head spinning, you'll stop reading the word, and before you know it, you'll be up on a junk heap somewhere with your life in shambles. It happens that quick. You know, it happens that quick because we allow our minds to run away with us. So faith complies, it doesn't complain. We defeat difficulties through compliance. I already read verse 6 and 7, but I'll read it again. So Joshua called together the priests and said, take up the Ark of the Covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people, march around the city, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the Ark of the Lord. After Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with the ram's horn started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched. Let me say this to you. I'm sure there may have been someone smarter than Joshua in the group that said, wait a minute, why do we have to, what's with the horns? You know what I mean? Do we need all 7 priests? What if something happens to one of them? Can't we just use, and everybody would reason, come up with, they'd have a committee to put together and the marching committee, and they would change the whole plan, and they would complain instead of comply. See, God's commands in our life are very specific, but yet we want to change, and guess what? If you're being led by your flesh and your flesh ruled, you can get the word of God to say anything you want to make it work and fit around your little agenda. But at the end of the day, I know there's something in your heart that says, this just isn't right. Now, we can ignore that long enough, and eventually you just don't hear it. You become callous to it. But compliance is everything. His commands are very specific in our life. We cannot alter them and change them to try to make it fit our what we reason and what we think it should be. You know, the Bible says that He told Joshua in the very first chapter, 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, so you would observe to do everything that's written in it. For then and only then will you have true success. See, that's God's command to us. Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And there's no deviating from that. And if we'll follow God's precepts and we'll comply, we will see the power of God. There's specific in instructions. Now, look at verse 9 and 10. It says, and we're in chapter 6. So Joshua was giving these specific instructions to the priests that God told him that we're gonna march around 6 times, and then on the 7th day we're gonna march around 7 times, and then we're gonna blow the horns, and the walls are just gonna come down. And they must have been like, sure, okay. Sounds great. Never seen that happen before. What kind of battle plan is that? But yet Joshua complied immediately. So he gathered everyone together. Verse 9, it says, armed guards marched both in front of the priests and behind the ark, with the priests continually blowing the horns. Do not shout. This is now Joshua. Listen to this. He's giving them instruction. Do not shout. Do not even talk, Joshua commanded. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout. Now, we would question that. Well, what do you mean? Why can't we talk? So we got to walk around this thing all day and not say a word to one another? You know, and you could see right then and there why we forfeit the blessings of God in our life. Because instead of being compliant, we want to question it. We always want to question it. And you know what? God doesn't want, he don't want us to question it. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to trust him. You know, when you're talking with someone and you know, especially, you know, I always use my kids. Sorry, Grandpa did it to me growing up all my life. So when I'm talking to my kids and giving them instructions, just listen to what I'm saying. I tell them all the time, this is not a question and answer. These are instructions. I'm not asking your opinion about anything. I'm telling you that this is what your mother and I want. But how come? And then we have to start all over again, and we say that these are instructions. We're not asking you a question. We're making a statement to you. So anyway, and they get it after a while. But the Israelites, they were compliant. Joshua was compliant. So in the face of such a great obstacle, Joshua complied with the plan of God. Though he may not have completely understood the plan or its significance, he followed God. Joshua moved the people to action. You know, we may not fully understand God's plan in our life, but when God speaks to you, don't worry about that. Just comply anyway, because God knows what he's doing. How many trust the Lord? Trust him with your whole life. I mean, listen, God cares about us. He gave his son for us. He certainly will not abandon us and leave us helpless. So we have to comply. God could use a man like Joshua because he was a man of faith and a man of obedience. We need to be people of faith and people of obedience. He simply followed as God instructed, and he didn't question it. That's so important. He just did it. He went with it because he trusted God. So number one, we overcome obstacles through communication, communing with God. Number two, through compliance. What an act of faith it was for Joshua and the people to march around the city. You know, I said it earlier, no previous battle had ever been fought that way. So this was like a first time out. You know, it was an act of faith and an act of obedience that always produces God's power in our life. When we act in faith and we obey God's command and we surrender, which comes down to surrender, which was one of the first things I talked about on the first Saturday that we had when we started this June 6th, I was talking about surrendering to God. And true surrender is going where and following God's plan, but we don't know what it is or where it's taking us. But saying, God, you know what? I trust you enough. I know you have a future and a hope for me. And I trust you anyway. When we act in faith and obedience, that always produces God's power in our life. So, you know, here's a simple question you can ask yourself. If you don't see God's power working in your life, ask yourself, am I acting in faith? Am I obeying what God is asking me to do? You see, we can't surpass and supersede some of the things that God wants us to do in our life and expect to get other direction. And, you know, the Bible says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And, you know, we've seen that with Jonah running from the plan of God. you know, and maybe someone in here, I know I was at one point in my life, where we run from the plan of God because we're afraid, we don't understand it, and we think we have a better plan. But when you walk away and you don't surrender, we forfeit God's power in our life. It's through faith and obedience that activates God's power in our life. And that's really primarily the most important thing that we can do, is surrender and submit ourselves to God to follow his plan for our life. You cannot get more direction and instructions from God until we start to follow what he's already told us. You know, and sadly enough, it's the little simple things, it's the little foxes that end up spoiling the whole vine, you know. We certainly recognize the big things, but it's them little things that you know in your heart that you just can't, you try to keep pushing it aside, and you know, God still talks to you about certain things, about doing certain things, or maybe not doing certain things, and the more we ignore them, the more we get off, you know, then our heart starts condemning us, and before you know it, you feel shame, you don't want to read your Bible, you stop coming to church, and that's the progression, and that's how people slip away in what we call backslide, you know. But really, if we'll remain obedient and follow his instructions, then God will give us more instruction. You know, I find it interesting, God didn't tell Joshua anything about taking the city of Jericho, did he? He didn't say, all right, look, here's a five-year plan, Joshua. You're going to cross the Jordan River first, and then 3 days later, you're going to get some people together. You're going to march around the city, because it's going to almost be an impossibility, but just trust me. I know what to do. March around. And then after that, you're going to do this and that. He said, one command, follow it. When they were obedient, they stepped out in faith, God demonstrated his power. Second thing, God starts speaking to them. I want you to take the city of Jericho. Not sure how it's going to happen. We weren't sure how. And you know what? Each time you overcome an obstacle, your faith grows. Think about that for a minute. Your faith will never grow if it's not tested. Every time we overcome an obstacle, it's like lifting weights. You know, it's horrible when you're doing it. It's miserable. It hurts. Your muscles get breaking down. They break down. But the next time you lift, you can start to lift more weight. And then your muscles grow. The more obstacles we overcome, our faith grows. I could imagine now. Maybe the very first time that they were obedient, they obeyed Joshua, they said, we're going to cross the Jordan River. They may have said, how? And he said, listen, this is what God said for us to do. This is what we're going to do. They did it. God's power was demonstrated. Now they get more instruction. Go take the city of Jericho. I bet you that their faith was a little stronger. And they said, hey, look, maybe somebody complained. But I bet someone else in the crowd said, hey, look, didn't God, he parted the Jordan River for us, the Red Sea. We went right across it. So if he did that, he's going to do this. And so then they're obedient there. God's power again is demonstrated, which builds their faith. So now, can you see the progression? Each time you could take on more and more and more. But we'll never be able to take on more and more. We'll never get from here to there if we don't obey God in the little things. And to me, you know what? I don't know what God's speaking to you about, but I could tell you this. Start with reading your Bible every day. Make that commitment. God, I want to hear from you. I want to communicate with you. I want you to give me direction in my life. Show me where I'm missing it, and start reading your Bible every day. And I guarantee you, and I hate to say I guarantee you, but I'm certain that you will see things change in your life. Without someone telling you anything, your mind, you'll begin to think differently, because the Word of God changes all that. Changes it. Not from a pastor or a preacher or someone on TV or your friends telling you what you need to do or what you can do and what you can't do. It isn't about that. Read God's word. God will speak to your heart. He'll challenge you, and it'll change your thinking. So we need to, what was the second point? I forgot. Through compliance, with God's mighty hand, obedience is the key. Compliance is the key to the moving of God's mighty hand in our life. Many people pride themselves on living within reason. But God called his people to live by faith. We are to walk in faith and obedience to his direction and his leadership in our lives. And when we have that little God in the box, we got to live within reason, because that doesn't make sense. Well, following God, there's going to be things that he asks us to do that doesn't make sense. But that's faith. We need to trust him enough, and you get to trust him by spending time with him in his word. And last but not least, impossibilities become possibilities through confidence. verse 20 and 21. I'm going to read it to you real quick, and we're going to close up here. Verse 20, it says, when the people heard the sound of the horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites, they said that the walls went straight into the ground. You know, it's amazing. It isn't like, you know, because then you think to yourself, well, man, if it collapses like that and all these people are on top of it, aren't they going to? And God knew all that. He knew all that. It would be a big crumbled pile. They'd all be, you know, piled on top of them. But when you study this, those walls, literally the ground opened up and the walls went straight into the ground. And so the people were just standing there on flat ground and just charged right into the city. You know, that's the God that we serve. A miraculous. He's a God of miracles. So they collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the city from every side and captured it. They completely destroyed everything in it, men, women, young and old, cattle, sheep, donkeys, everything. Then Joshua said to the two spies, keep your promise, go to Rahab's house and bring her out along with her family. And you know what? In doing all this, God spared her, and her life was changed. And you know what? The scripture further on down says, it says, then the Israelites burned the city and everything in it. Only the things made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron were kept for the treasury of the Lord's house. So Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute and her relatives who were with her in the house because she had hidden the spies. Joshua said to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. You know, so she was grafted right into that family. You know what I mean? And I just find that's just God's mercy and his grace. And God is merciful and gracious to us. So impossibilities, they become possible through our confidence. It was uncommon common sense to believe that God could make the impossible possible. Yet in the end, the walls fell. You see, the walls were not the problem. Think about this. The walls weren't the problem. They never are. The walls in our life are not the problem. We're the problem. We always are. God has the power to do as he chooses, but he desires that we act in obedient faith. And when we do, he takes care of the walls in our life. He takes care of the obstacles. And so the impossibilities that you may be facing in your life today will become possible. For with God, all things are possible. You know, but we need to trust him. We need to walk with him. We need to, it's not a casual walk. It's not just, you know, when we want to live like a Christian on Sunday. It's living like a Christian every day of the week. And walking with God and following his plan and purpose for your life. And the impossibilities, they become possible. Because you know why? The Israelites began to develop some confidence because they've seen the hand of God at work on their behalf. And you know what? When you start trusting God with little things, you know, it stirs you up. It builds your faith. And it enables you to trust God for the impossible, that things you know are out of your reach and out of your grasp to be able to handle. But yet God, when you trust him, those things that are impossible, they become realities in your life. They do. And God changes. How many's life has been changed by the power of God? I know mine has. It's unbelievable. It really is. And you know what? God is still... I don't like to say in the business, but he's still in the habit of changing people's lives. And he does that through us, through our obedience, through us spending time with him and speaking something to somebody. That one word that could change their life forever. That the impossible situation that somebody may be dealing with. And you speak something because you feel impressed in your heart. And that's God speaking to you. You feel impressed to just say something to them. Something, and you know what? You never know what somebody's going through or what they're dealing with. But one word, God knows what they're dealing with. And God's not going to come down and sit and have a conversation with them in a cup of coffee. But we can. We can. We're Casting Crowns sings a song. We are his body. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his mouth. And God speaks, and he does that through us. So that's all I have on our part two here of how to overcome obstacles. I hope that you got something out of it tonight, and the impossibilities and obstacles that you may be facing in your life, and that we face and challenges every day are as good as taken care of if we will comply with God, if we'll comply with his word and follow his truth and listen to what he says. Amen. While we're getting up here, we can come on up here, guys, to close in the song. On Saturdays, we receive our offering at the end of the service. Just something I just felt impressed to do differently. But if you feel like this message ministered to your heart, and I trust that it did, and we ask that you would give something in the offering and help us continue to further the cause of Christ. We do what we do because we want to see people's lives changed, and we all have a part in that. And you know, not everybody stands up in a pulpit, but everybody has an opportunity to go share the gospel with people. And by your giving and being part of this, it enables us to continue to do what we're doing, and it's certainly appreciated. And like I said, if you were ministered to, then we'd appreciate your generosity and help in giving back so we can continue doing what we're doing. Amen. If you need an offering envelope, Joe's here, my faithful man. Raise your hand. He'll make an airplane out of it and throw it to you. All right. I bet he does. All right. Well, we're going to pray, and I got to get my guitar on, and we're going to sing a closing song. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we can sow our seed, Lord, and we know that it's you who gives us the ability to gain increase in our life, Father, and we're grateful that you are our source and our supply. And as we sow our seed in obedience to your word, Father, I ask you'd bless everybody, every person that participates tonight, Father, that you'd see their heart, you'd see their faith, Father, you'd multiply their seed back to them so that they could continue to give. And Father, as they do give, I thank you that the finances that come in will enable us to continue the cause of Christ and continue to be able to preach the gospel and see lives change and people's hearts change by the power of God. We thank you for all that was said and done tonight and ask a special blessing upon each and every person. In Jesus' name, amen.